Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
630 Chad and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
This is the second hour of Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. In this hour, Calgary Flames general manager Brad Treliving, along with Brent Myers, ex-NHL player who has written an autobiography, which... does the rarest of things, points the direction at Brent and his challenges that he's had along the ways dealing with substance abuse. We're just negotiating contact here with Flames GM Brad Treliving, and Brendan will give me a heads up on that.
You're good to go. We got him.
Good to go. Well, let's get off to our River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. First of all, Brad, I owe you an apology. I think I told Peter 1 o'clock, so thank you for calling in at 1. How you doing?
No problem. Well, we're doing okay. We need to get the team playing a little bit more consistent here, but all's good. How are you making out today, Bob?
It's better. Obviously, 3-6 start, only had the one goaltender. Same thing. I'm watching a team that's top six is pretty good. The defense is coming along, and now you have two goalies. But I actually want to start talking about goaltending, because when I watch your team play, Jacob Markstrom's had a lot of nights where he's been the best player on the ice for both teams, and obviously that was an important area that you addressed in the offseason.
Yeah, Jacob's been, he's come in and done everything we would have hoped for and more. Number one, just he's been excellent at stopping the puck. And, obviously that's number one on the hit list, but he's just a real competitive guy, takes his craft very seriously. Sometimes you don't necessarily say this about goaltenders, but is one of the hardest working players I've been around. Goes out early, stays late. An excellent teammate. So he's been tremendous for us. And our schedule was such early where we played three games. We had a week off, and we're now into the thick of the schedule where the games are coming fast and furious, so we've got we rode him a lot early, and David will go tonight, and we have a lot of faith and confidence in David, too, so we think between the two of them, they're going to give us excellent goaltending, but Jacob has been as advertised since he arrived.
Brad, when I watched Vancouver the last couple seasons in particular, to me that was a team where there were two guys that kind of cleaned up the mess that happened further up the ice. And one was Chris Tanev on defense, and obviously the other one was Markstrom. And I know you guys lost TJ Brody, and Tanev's a different defenseman, probably a little bit, maybe doesn't have quite the same offensive upside, but he can defend. And he was a target of yours. How do you think that pairing's gone with him and Noah Hanifin so far?
You know what, Bob? They've played really well, and I again, similar to Jacob, I can't say enough good things about Chris coming in here. Just an absolute pro in the way he goes about his business, the way he prepares, and what I would call him is just he's just a steady, confident partner, and real reliable, a stabilizer is sort of how I refer to him here. Is he's just so stable in his game. Although Noah's been, I think he's just north of 400 games in the league, he's still a young player. He just turned 24. I think he's really helped stabilize Noah's game. And just, moves the puck. I don't think Chris gets probably enough credit. For how well he skates, he can get back, he can retrieve pucks, gets it moving up ice, makes a good first pass. But as you said, is really his bread and his butter is his ability to defend. And you know, that pairing has been real good for us. Our defense is overall has been real good. It's been, you know, I've been happy with how they've played. We're integrating some young players into the lineup there. You know, Rasmus Anderson's taking a step. You know, he's been, I think now it's his third full season in the league, but he's taken a step forward. Yusuf Alamaki coming off an injury that kept him out all year last year, you know, really his, you know, getting his feet underneath him. And you know, Connor Mackey playing a couple games here as a first-year pro. So we've got some youth back there, but they're all big, can move the puck. And Chris has played a real important role, not only with Noah as his partner, but with a lot of those young players that we're integrating on the blue line.
Calgary Flames General Manager Brad Treliev and Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. Brad, Jeff Ward a little bit animated, obviously not the, from a process perspective, not what you're looking for against Vancouver the other night. And you mentioned you've been happy with goal and defense. I watched Calgary play, and for me, a couple guys that I know are going to bring it are going to be Backlund and Tkachuk. Matthew's been a little quiet over the last three or four games. Are there challenges at times for him in terms of, you know, he's talking about instigate. I mean, he's involved in so much on the ice on a night-by-night basis. Does he have to worry about it taken away from what he does in terms of creating offensively? Because he's had 77 and 61 points the last 2 years, Brad. Or does he just have to be who he is regardless? And what comes his way comes his way.
Yeah, Matthew's not going to change his game. We don't want him to change his game. Most nights he's the engine that drives this team. And, you know, he's a unique player in the sense that he's a guts of the game player. You know, he's most effective when he's in the hard areas. But, and I know that gets talked a lot about, you know, that sort of stuff. But, you know, the bottom line with Matthew, he's a really, really good player. You know, he's got a hockey intelligence off the map. He's got high-level skill, his ability to create offense, you know, through distributing the puck, through protecting the puck, through retrieving the puck, you know, is world-class. And, you know, I would say in a lot of ways he's been like our team here lately. We've been an inconsistent team, you know. But as far as Matthew changing his game, absolutely not. We want him to be the Matthew Tkachuk that we know that he can be. He's a top player in this league. He's certainly, like I said, one of the engines that drives our team. And I've got no issues or no worries that Matthew's going to be back to the Matthew that we know so well. But we've got a lot of other players right now that, you know, we're not at capacity. You know, if you're sitting there and saying, okay, everybody's firing on all cylinders and the results are what they are, you know, in some cases our record, you know, we've won some games where I think that haven't played to the best of our capabilities. So we've got to find a way to flatten it out and remove the ebbs and flows in our games. There's always going to be, you know, you're going to grab momentum for periods and of time, and the opponent's going to grab it for a period of time. But what we're looking for is flatten out our consistency. Our highs and our top end has been real good when we've gotten to that level. But there's been too many instances where we've been inconsistent, whether that be starts of games, whether that be through periods, whether that be through extended shifts throughout the game. So we know we're capable of a higher level of play and a more consistent higher level of play. So, you know, that's the challenge that's in front of us tonight against a real good team. But, you know, regardless of the opponent, we've got to get more guys on the bus here playing to the level that they're capable of playing.
When you made the blockbuster Dougie Hamilton trade, did you know that Lindholm could be a first-line center for you?
Well, when we made that deal, like, Lindholm was a guy that we really, you know, we thought a lot of. And, you know, even going back to his draft year, you know, we think he's got lots of skill and he's got lots of ability, but, you know, his ability to play a hard 200-foot game, and I know that, you know, that's sort of in vogue, that saying, but, you know, we really felt that he could be a top-end, you know, player that's responsible at both ends of the ice, that can play against the other team's best. You know, he's got some edge to him. He's a thick-bodied guy. like you said, the offensive ability, you saw it coming, you know, even going back to his draft year where he was drafted. You know, his skill, Bob, if you remember that draft, was always spoken about. But this is a guy who's got high-end hockey sense, thinks the game really well, high-end competitiveness. And, yeah, when you can get that in the middle of the ice and you know, again, be able to play against the other team's best but also contribute offensively, we thought he could be a real building block for our team. And you know, how that might be able to set us up down the middle of the ice, I really believe you got to build it through the middle of the ice. And we've got depth there and strength there down the middle of the ice for us. You know, so even when we acquired him, we played obviously a lot of wing last year with Gaudreau and Monahan. But you know, him playing the middle this year, I think has taken his game and chose. You know, it's the position he's most comfortable with. You know, he's able to play. He's able to play on the wall, but he's more comfortable in the middle. That's his natural position, and he's been real solid for us.
Dubé got knocked out of your lineup for a couple games, and to me, he gives you some life, some jump. When I saw him play for Kelowna in the WHL, I wouldn't say it totally reminded me of Braden Point, but there was some similarities there. You're pretty excited about maybe where this player might be able to get to long term?
Yeah, very much so. You know, he brings really some explosive speed to us, to our lineup. You know, he had a good start, you know, missed some time with an injury, and I think he's just sort of getting his game back together now. And, you know, like, it was different even going back to the spring or the summer, you know, and I think we talked, Bob, before going into the bubble, and there were some players, and I would put Dylan in that category where, you know, we had to pause. The season was going on. We paused for 3 months or whatever it was, 3 or 4 months. Dylan came back. He looked like it was a new season for him. It looked like he was a young player that had an off season and was stronger and thicker and bigger and quicker. And he carried that into the bubble. And he really did that again this, you know, from the bubble to this off season into this season. Is, you know, he's a real committed young guy to his craft. In terms of looking after himself and preparing himself and you know, really puts a lot of time into his game, into his body. And we think that he's going to be a good one. And, you know, he's got a combination of speed and skill and competitiveness that, you know, and even at a young age that he's at now, we rely on him to be an important player for us. And, you know, we know what the ceiling can be there and what he's capable of, and look forward to him getting back to, you know, where he was earlier in this year as a dynamic player.
Brad, earlier in the season, a couple of weeks ago, Backlund, Mangiapane, and Lucic were the best line against the Oilers. We'd be remiss without asking you about Milan. I don't think there's been an expectation for him to play in the top six. Has the role maybe suited him better in Calgary, where maybe the same weight of expectation isn't there as it was when he signed the big deal to come to Edmonton?
I think that's fair, Bob. And as you know, you're around the players. You know, expectations can, you know, especially in the Canadian market, that can weigh in a player. And as you know, with Milan, he cares a great deal about, you know, obviously as all players do, but his performance and you know, I think the change sometimes for any player can be a good thing, right? You feel sometimes maybe it's not going the way you want it to go, and you know, whether that's in a team, you get changed in a line, or you get changed, you know, with who you're playing with, or in some cases when you change organizations, you change the scenery. It's a good thing, and a fresh start, and you can reset. And Milan's been really good for us. And one thing you never question with Milan is his professionalism. You know, you watch him practice. He practices the right way. He takes care of himself the right way. He prepares the right way. And you know, it's like any player, though, Bob. Like, he had a couple go in for him early. I don't care who you are. When you play the game and you can have it, you can have the red light going for you. Just you feel like there's – and not that you're sitting there and you judge everything you know, you're not judging by production. But sometimes that just lessens the load, right? It feels there's a little less weight there for you. But for him, he's doing things the right way. He's getting in on a forecheck. You know, as we progressed here, he's better with us. He's been really good lately in terms of his puck management. excuse me, I sneezed here, but and been a good leader for our team. So,
yeah.
Really happy where his game's at.
All right. I got one more for you if you can get through it. Brendan can even. I'll tell you what, Brendan, take Brad off headset for 10 seconds or off speaker. You're good now? All right.
I'm good now.
All right. We'll make three quick ones. Does the combination of the quarantine and the flat cap make trades far more difficult to do this year than at any time in past years? Is there less chatter as a result of what we're all going through?
Well, I think that's fair. I think it's a fair assessment. I think the cap always, and I would say, I mean, you're going to, in a cap world, that's always a challenge, but you know, you see transactions happen. I think the more each year, there's more and more teams closer to or at the cap, where finances play a big part of it, where you got teams that can only do things if it's dollar for dollar. But also when you take into consideration now in this country where you've got a 14-day quarantine, especially when in a season that's so jammed as we are, you know, 14 days, you just look at a schedule. That could be 8 or 9 games, 10 games for some people. You know, we've seen it in the Dubois deal with Winnipeg and it's not just the 2 weeks. So you take the 2 weeks, then the player, you know, there's 2 weeks of really just quarantine and inactivity for the most part. But then you're, you know, now you're getting used to a new team, even off the ice, and it takes a little bit of time. So it's certainly something that everybody's cognizant of. Does it stop people from having discussions? No. But it's reality. You know, it's reality that sometimes you say we want to make a shakeup on Friday, and a player comes in a day or two later, and maybe there's a, you know, you've got a different look. That's just not the reality. I think conversations continue, but it certainly plays a role in you know, when you prepare to look at making any type of transaction.
We have Brett Myers coming on after you, and the Flames are an organization that has a person that's sort of in a similar, I don't know if it's totally the same, but you brought in Brian McGrattan. Brent was in a role with LA. Can you maybe impart some wisdom on our listeners here, just how important it is to have a guy that's experienced some things in his life, Brad?
Yeah, Brian plays a big part in our organization in the role of player assistance. And really, you know, Brian was a player. I have a history with Brian going back to the days in Arizona. Brian came in as a player, as an assistant manager there. Brian came in as a player, and it was during his time in Arizona where he went through some real challenges. And he's been open and public about, you know, the substance abuse issues that he dealt with and the demons that he dealt with in his life. And I was with him during that stage of his life and saw him go through, you know, all the steps that he's gone through to turn his life around. And we sometimes forget that the athletes that we're dealing with, in a lot of cases, they're anywhere from 19 to, you know, early to mid-30s-year-old people, that they have the exact same challenges that you and I and everybody in society has. They're, you know, they go through a lot of the same difficulties. The difference with them is they're in a real public stage, and having someone to talk to, having somebody to look out for, you know, maybe some warning signs for that, but just having an ear in a lot of cases that players can go to and talk about certain things. And it's not just, you know, on the substance side, but, you know, Brian throughout his career has been through a lot, and most things that players will go through, the challenges that you go through being going up and down or being sent down or maybe sitting out a certain time. So all those different things that in today's day and age where, you know, we place such a priority on mental health and how big of an impact that has on not just you know, the player or the player performance, but most importantly, the person. Having somebody who's gone through that and has walked in those shoes and has gone through many of these challenges firsthand, you know, Brian's there to help our group, whether it be here, whether it be Stockton, whether it be our works with our development team for players, you know, junior, college, throughout the system, and so it plays a real integral role with our players, and having somebody to talk to, because quite honestly, as much as I communicate with our players, you know, having some of those conversations with the general manager sometimes could be, you know, a little bit threatening. But to have somebody where Brian can have those conversations, impart his wisdom and be an ear, I think it's been a real good addition for us, and Brian's done an awesome job with our players.
Brad, we appreciate you gutting it through that interview. Thank you for taking time to join us.
I apologize for that, Bob.
Okay, we'll see you down the road. Thanks for your time, Brad.
Okay, take care now.
You bet. That is Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. And again, we have Brent Myers coming up here at 1:35. His book is called Painkiller, and he has shared many of the same challenges along the way that Brian McGrattan has. And believe me, when you hear some of the stories with Brent, you're going to... Something happened to Brent that never happened before to an NHL player. We'll just tease you with that. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back in Oilers Now, we're going to get to our North Division report brought to you Monday, Wednesday, Friday by Craig Hummel at Remax Excellence. This is Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Oscar Clefbaum from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Chat.
Oscar Clefbaum out for the year on LTIR. There's an old saying in the car business at 128 in Edmonton, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Outstanding customer service, those are key to business as well. Brent Ridge Ford is a 9-time President's Diamond Award winner for customer satisfaction. Ford is built for you. They got Oilers fans at Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin and Flames fans at Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin. Three guys that are Oilers fans are Johnny, Uncle Milt, and Rich. And you can reach them at 1-877-477-3673 or visit brentridge.com. As we go to the North Division Report, brought to you to Monday, Wednesday, Friday by Craig Hummel at Remax Excellence. Go for it, Brendan.
Okay, Toronto, as they have really all season, leading the way 13-3-2 atop things. They are coming off two wins against Ottawa. Montreal right in behind them, 20 points to Toronto's 28, although they have played three fewer games. Edmonton up at 18 games played heading into tonight, 10-8-0, and they have a one-point lead over Winnipeg, who has played one less game. Calgary will try and turn it around, of course, in this two-game set in the Battle of Alberta. Vancouver has the most games played in this division, and I think in the entire NHL, actually, just 17 points to show for 20 games, though. And Ottawa on the heels now of two losses to Toronto will get Montreal up next.
Brought to you by Craig Hummel at Remax Excellence. Finding your dream home, listing your old home, it all starts at soldtodayedmonton.ca. List it, sell it, move on.
All right, 1:29 in Edmonton, off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back, painkiller Brent Myers will join us on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.